VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, 5 weeks ago today, 5 weeks ago today was the presidential election. Now, 5 weeks later, the outcome is still uncertain, and there are numerous challenges going on in various levels of courts in various states. Just last night, the state of Texas filed a lawsuit against Georgia, against Michigan, against Pennsylvania, and against Wisconsin with the United States Supreme Court challenging the unlawful election procedures that took place. Now, we're kind of in a two-day series here. Tomorrow on Crosstalk, Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel is going to be joining us and looking at the many legal challenges that are taking place, even as we quickly approach the date that the Electoral College is supposed to meet and vote. Today, though, we're going to be taking a look at the media's impact on the 2020 election. Our guest today contends that the media's role is that they stole this election before a single vote was cast. Joining me today, we welcome back Don Fetter. Don is a writer, researcher, and columnist. He's a Boston Herald editorial writer and syndicated columnist for some 19 years. More than 40 newspapers and e-magazines have picked up his writings. They've appeared in the Washington Times, the Weekly Standard, Front Page Magazine, Human Events, many others. For many years now, about 18 years, communications consultant, writer, and conference organizer for various pro-life and pro-family NGOs. He's a recipient of numerous awards. Don, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you once again, Jim.
Don, you indicate that the media stole this 2020 presidential election long before November 3rd. You're no stranger to presidential elections. Actually, you've been giving media coverage of campaigns since the time of Barry Goldwater. What's been different about this Trump presidency that you've observed the media's role versus what you've witnessed in presidencies and elections in years gone by?
Well, if I had to sum it up in one word, Jim, relentless. The media, I think from the 2016 campaign, created a false narrative of Donald Trump. And they just, you know, they spent 4 years building the case against him, lying about various aspects of his personality and politics. And I mean, look, I've been witnessing media bias, as you said, Jim, since the 1964 campaign. In fact, I can remember watching the Republican convention in 1964 at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. And at one point, the Goldwater delegates turned around in their seats, looked at the media box, and shook their fists at the media.
Wow.
Now, that was, you know, that was, what, almost 60 years ago. The thing that I'd given some thought to, and I'd like to share this with your listeners, is we'll never know how many people the media swayed. You know, the media had any number of lies about Trump that they pushed day in and day out, and I'm convinced that there were people, especially in the suburbs, who ordinarily would have voted for Donald Trump, liked his policies in many cases, but they also bought the media narrative, and I think that caused enough of them to vote against Trump more than voting for Biden, assuming that, in fact, he won, to carry the election.
Yeah, and we're going to look into some of those portrayals that the media gave. But you also point out that the President Trump, I mean, when you actually examine his record, he turned our economy into what you write is a job-creating engine. He made us energy independent. He secured our borders. He transformed what was once an overwhelming activist judiciary and returned sanity to American foreign policy. How could people see all that was accomplished and yet we see the totals like we do today? And let me first, do you trust the totals as the media has reported them?
No, No, I don't. honestly, I haven't followed this as closely as some reporters or commentators, and I don't know whether there was enough fraud and manipulation to swing the election to Trump. I do know there was a lot of it, and I mean, look, there's fraud in every election. The question is how much.
Mm-hmm. And what you're saying, Don, you have not specifically examined that aspect. You've been focusing on other aspects.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, just looking at Donald Trump and looking at Joe Biden, even assuming I wasn't a conservative, Jim, I keep asking myself, how could regular people, relatively sane people, choose Joe Biden over Donald Trump?
Especially when they've seen what, you know, as we mentioned, the job creation and my, if people watched, you know, pumping into their gas tanks and the lower prices of gasoline because we've become energy dependent, independent, that is, and the transformation taking place. You have actually followed the work of the Media Research Center on their coverage of President Trump over these past 4 years. They have some pretty shocking numbers as to the negativity of the coverage against President Trump, don't they?
Yes, they do, and they've done a lot of research. But I think the most telling statistic, the Media Research Center looked at all of the news reports on the networks between June 1st and July 31st, so over a period of 2 months. They found that network coverage of Trump was 95% negative. At the same time, coverage of Biden was 67% positive.
Hmm. That's a huge gap.
Oh, it's an enormous gap. And, you know, honestly, Media Research Center is a conservative organization. They're a media watchdog. They're conservative. But what they did is they looked at every report on Trump, what they called evaluative. You know, you're not just saying, well, the president went to Europe today, but you're actually saying something about his policies that affect the Europeans. Anyway, again, they found 95% negative for Trump, 67% positive for Biden.
That is huge, folks, and we're going to have our guest bear out some of these issues that he has written about, that he has researched and made some observations on several of these ways in which the media did just that. Today, we're focusing in on the media's impact on the 2020 election. And Don, frankly, you've made some great observations, and I'd like you to address how the media relentlessly attacked the president, as referred to, and you came up, wrote several bullet points here. The first one you present is they presented Trump as being the bigot.
Yep.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, when Trump announced his campaign, he was talking about the need to secure the borders, and he talked about murderers and rapists and drug dealers coming across the border. Which is true, by the way. You can see it in crime statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the media turned that into, Trump is saying that Mexicans who come here are all murderers, rapists, drug dealers. No, he didn't say that. But he said, along with all of these illegal aliens, there are these bad actors, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
When people come here illegally, we can kind of filter them out. You know, we avoid letting certain types of people into the country. When they come illegally, you have no way of knowing what you're getting.
You know, what's also interesting, and this also came up in the countries that he stopped from immigration into the U.S. These are nations that were primary sponsors of terror. And yet the media narrative over and over again was that he had a Muslim ban for our nation. That was not the case.
No, that's exactly the expression that was used, Jim. Trump's Muslim ban. Well, it was a ban on people from terrorist states.
Mm-hmm.
People from terrorist states, naturally, are more likely to commit acts of terrorism. You know, that's not a mental leap. And it's borne out in the statistics of what these immigrants are doing in both Europe and the United States, and yet again they turned that around to Trump hates Muslims.
Yeah, yeah. And yet there were Muslim nations in which immigrants were allowed into the United States, but those that were leading sponsors of terror, we found that that's where the block was. But yet the media, every chance they had, and we, you know, it's the narrative on local newscasts as far as and national newscast, and from activist groups, is that it was Trump's Muslim ban.
That's right. And you know, even worse than that was Trump the bigot, Trump the racist,
yeah.
Trump who hates African Americans. You know, another false narrative that they just pushed all the time.
Trump who exploits racial tensions for political gain.
Exactly. You know, unlike the Democrats, have never exploited racial tensions for political gains. Other than every time there's an opportunity, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by pushing the, you know, the Trump is a racist narrative, you know, they were able to scare a lot of people in the minority community into voting for Biden, and that was exactly what they intended to do. You know, sometimes Trump says things without thinking the implications through. Even after 4 years in the White House, he's not a politician. He's a businessman who went into politics because he saw how poorly the politicians were doing. But, you know, I think probably the worst was Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have time now to get into that.
Yes, please do.
Okay. Well, you may recall Charlottesville. This goes back a few years. There were a group of people demonstrating in favor of keeping Confederate war memorials, statues of Confederate generals, for instance. And there were people who were violently opposed. Now, what Trump said, and again, it would have been better if he clarified this initially, he did later on, Trump said there are good people and bad people on both sides. Now, among those demonstrating to keep the statues were white supremacists. The media took that and again twisted it around to, oh, Donald Trump is saying there are good white supremacists. He didn't say that.
No.
No. He said there are good people on both sides of the issue, and there are bad people. You know, Antifa was out there creating mayhem again. You know, Trump wasn't saying that, you know, there are good people in Antifa or some of the other extremist groups. No, he was saying that there are good people on both sides of this specific issue.
And then in that same, and when somebody hears the full context, Don, they realize that he had also condemned white supremacy and the KKK, etc. And repeatedly throughout this campaign, he was asked by reporters, will you go on record now as denouncing white supremacy? Tell you what, we're going to pick up with this after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Don Fetter is with us. We're talking today about the media's impact on the 2020 election. Back in a minute here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now some people say that they don't believe in God because they can't see him. Is this a legitimate argument?
No, I don't think it is, Chris. Now, it does take faith to believe in God, but we see all sorts of evidence of him. We see the results of what he has done. We see many truths in the Bible verified by science and history and thus have a good reason to have faith in the rest. Chris, it amuses me to see so many people believing in aliens. We've never seen an alien. We've searched the heavens with fine detail and can find no clue that anything is out there. But they'll believe in aliens before they believe in God. Life is so complex that it must have been created. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Don Fetter, and he's a writer, he's a researcher, he writes regular columns, and we're discussing today the media's impact on the 2020 election. It was our guest's contention that the media stole this election even before a single vote was cast. We're not talking about what happened just on election night, but the 4 years actually leading up to the election, including running up into the 2016 election as well. We're discussing some of the false narratives that the media constantly portrayed, such as Trump the bigot, Trump who exploits racial tensions for political gain. And we saw that happen often. And, Don, it was frustrating because it happened again even in the debate that Chris Wallace was moderating, just asking, will you go on record, you know, once and for all to denounce white supremacy? And when you go back, and President Trump, yes, you know, he has done this over and over again. And I remember the montage of clips in which he was constantly being asked that question, will you, you know, for the record, will you tonight finally denounce white supremacy? And the media continued to play that narrative, even though the president repeatedly had denounced white supremacy.
And the media knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, they were creating a false narrative. The implication was that Trump hadn't done this in the past. You know, it's kind of like, have you stopped beating your wife?
Yeah.
You know, will you finally denounce white supremacy? Well, yeah, he's been doing it for 4 years. But again, a lot of people who heard that thought, well, my goodness, the president of the United States won't renounce white supremacy or hasn't denounced white supremacy. Again, for people who don't follow the news carefully, and a lot of people don't, this was a method of media manipulation, if you will. You know, planting this idea in people's heads that, you know, that Trump was reluctant to denounce the Ku Klux Klan, to denounce skinheads, to denounce white supremacy. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Trump has appointed African Americans to prominent positions in his administration. I remember in 2016, someone, I forget, it couldn't have been mainstream media, maybe it was Fox, interviewed a black woman who worked for Donald Trump. She was an executive with one of his corporations. And she said, I never saw any hint of prejudice. Mr. Trump just went out of his way to be nice to me.
Hmm. Very interesting. Yeah.
That doesn't sound like somebody who's reluctant to denounce white supremacy.
Right. Let's look at another false narrative that was given and painted as a picture repeatedly by the media, and that is Trump, the Russian agent.
Yeah. You know, the irony of that is that if the Russians favored anyone, it was Joe Biden. I mean, you know, Joe has been playing footsie with them for years. To believe this, you have to accept the idea that Russia wanted an America that was energy independent, that Russia wanted an America that was weak militarily, that Russia wanted an America that wouldn't crack down on Iran's nuclear program. You know, to believe this, you have to believe almost anything.
And repeatedly, we had that. We had all the clips that were coming, I mean, from Adam Schiff and from others within the Judiciary Committee, painting that picture. We've got, you know, we've got the whistleblower. We got, you know, the secret weapons here. We've got the hearings and these congressional committees under Nadler and Schiff were just relentless in their seemingly to have these Russian investigations. And the bottom line to all this, Don, was nothing was found. There's no smoking gun. There's no collusion that was going whatsoever.
No, and ironically, you may recall in 2012, the President Barack Obama was being interviewed along with the Russian foreign minister. I forget his name. But, you know, there were some disagreements between Obama and Putin, and Obama, when he thought the microphone wasn't live, said to the Russian foreign minister, just, you know, tell Mr. Putin to give me some leeway. After the election, I'll be able to do what he wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, again, it's typical of the Democratic Party. You know, there was an article in Business Insider that said that Joe Biden is going to be much tougher on China than, you know, than Donald Trump. I read that and I said, is the author of this article living in an alternative universe?
Yeah. Folks, these are some of the discrepancies and the false narratives that are bringing the conclusion that the media stole this election even before a single vote was cast. Don Federer is our guest today. Don, here's another one that we heard repeatedly since early 2020. Trump, who refused to take the coronavirus seriously until it was too late. I mean, we've got those who are attributing hundreds of thousands of deaths to Donald Trump.
Well, that's right. Joe Biden said that he killed a third of the country. But, you know, again,
yeah.
That's Joe Biden.
Right.
When the virus first broke out, Trump almost immediately put a ban on travel from China, which, by the way, is the same thing that Taiwan did. Taiwan, which is composed of ethnic Chinese. So that must mean Taiwan is anti-Chinese, if the Democratic narrative is true, or the media narrative in this case. You know, when Trump put his travel ban on, that, you know, the Democrats holler bloody murder, they said it was racist, it was insane, it won't do any good. It actually did a lot of good, but while this was going on, you had people like Nancy Pelosi and Governor Cuomo saying, hey, you know, come to Chinatown. You know, mm-hmm. let's party in the streets of San Francisco's Chinatown. Well, I've been to San Francisco's Chinatown, and it's lovely. But when you have a virus in mainland China, and it's coming into the United States, you really don't want to, you know, have a bash in Chinatown anywhere. But, you know, those were the things that were going on, and they accused Trump of not taking it seriously.
And yet it was Nancy Pelosi, as you point out, Don, that was encouraging people to come together in mass, to come to Chinatown, and they believe that the president was fear-mongering. They called him names like being xenophobic and so forth for not, you know, closing our borders to China at that time. And then they circle full circle then to criticize the president. He didn't do enough when they were encouraging people to actually go against what the president was saying.
That's right. You know, and related to this, Jim, we're going to have a vaccine shortly, in a matter of weeks, if not sooner. Donald Trump is a businessman. He knows how to get things done. He knows how to prod people. He knows how to get responses from the bureaucracy, from Congress, and, you know, in this case, from pharmaceutical firms. I can almost guarantee you that if Joe Biden had been president when this started, we'd be miles away from a vaccine. And again, Donald Trump, who is responsible for this, gets none of the credit for it, but blame for a situation that other people created.
Yeah, and not only is he accused as refusing to take the coronavirus seriously, but you make another point. It's Trump, a media narrative, a false narrative, Trump who refused to aid COVID victims.
Well, again, if you're objective, you have to say that Nancy Pelosi could have had another stimulus package in August or September. She held it up to get as much money as possible for municipal administrations controlled by Democrats. That's always been her priority, to get money for Democratic mayors and Democratic governors, not to help, you know, factory workers who are unemployed, restaurant workers, you know, who are, you know, going to soup kitchens for the first time in their lives. But again, there are a lot of people who don't look at it objectively, who don't do the research. And if the it's Goebbels' principle. You tell a lie often enough, and eventually some people will believe it.
Right. And so now we have, I mean, Nancy Pelosi has more or less in recent days indicted herself, because now she's willing to consider this coronavirus relief package in the billions, hundreds of billions, rather than trillions of dollars. And saying that, you know, she had held this up before, but she says kind of like it doesn't make a difference now because we'll have a different president. We're going to have a President Biden, you know. So she is the one that's been playing political games. The president has often tried to get that second or another relief package out there. But though he was accused of refusing to lend the aid, we had the likes of Schumer and Pelosi holding this thing up.
That's right. And, you know, Pelosi, I mean, even though it's been clear to a lot of observers for months now, Pelosi finally admitted it. She said, yeah, well, you know, since we're going to have a new president, I think we can do something.
Yeah. There's another false narrative. Trump, whose go-it-alone foreign policy made us the laughingstock of the international community. And that's something the media portrayed. We'll have you comment on this, Don, where the United States was no longer respected by the world. We're just the laughingstock, and President Trump is the one who caused it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would take that in a way as an accolade, you know, being the laughing stock of the international community, because the international community, so-called, that's the European Union, that's the United Nations, you know, these are people who've been digging a hole for us for decades now. And, you know, Trump finally said enough is enough. So you said to the Europeans, okay, you want to be part of NATO, finally start paying your fair share. He said to the United Nations, you know, we're not going to play your games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to beat Israel over the head for wanting to maintain the Jewish state. They do hate him for that. And, you know, they're looking forward to working with Joe Biden because they know that Joe will give them whatever they want.
His advice, you brought up Israel. His advice, do not move the embassy, even though you made that promise, just as Obama did and Clinton and Bush, but the Bushes and so forth, made the promise to move the embassy. Only President Donald Trump did that. And everybody warned him, you're going to cause wars to happen as a result. Your foreign policy is miserable and all this. He forged ahead and carried out the promise he said he was going to do.
And now we have peace agreements
between
Israel and a number of Arab states that we thought we'd never see in our lifetime.
Wow. Don Feder is with us here today. Don, we're just 30 seconds from a break. We're going to pick up a little bit more in discussion here before we open lines. But how is it our listeners can read your columns?
Most of my columns, in fact, almost all of my writing, appears on Front Page Mag or Front Page Magazine.
Okay.
FrontPageMag.com. FrontPageMag, one word, .com.
We're going to be back in just a minute. Don Feder is our guest, and we're taking a look here at some of the false narratives, many of the false narratives that the media used throughout the entire Trump presidency. And it is our guest who contends that it is the media that stole this election before a single vote was cast. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff. Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny.
Danny, I've told you not to talk to Lucian. He'll only hurt you again.
Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for, that not only changes his life, but that of others as well.
You may be able to run away from the village, but you can't run away from yourself.
Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
guest today in Crosstalk is Don Federer. Now, many times we've had Bill Federer. This is a different individual, but Don Federer with us today. He writes, researches, and puts out a regular column that's appearing in periodicals or online sources, one of which is Front Page Magazine, frontpagemag.com. His column's often falling there. Onto the pages there. But we're looking at the media's impact on the 2020 election. Just a reminder, if you've joined us today, we made reference at the outset of today's program that tomorrow Matt Staver will be with us from Liberty Counsel. We'll be delving into the specific court cases and challenges that are taking place, including the case that was just launched by Texas against several states regarding the unlawful election procedures. So that will be coming up more on tomorrow's program. Today, though, our focus on the media and their impact on the 2020 election. Looking at various of the false narratives, and we've covered those, such as Trump the bigot, Trump who exploits racial tensions for political gain, Trump the Russian agent, Trump who refused to take the coronavirus seriously until it was too late, Trump who refused to aid COVID victims, Trump's whose go-it-alone foreign policy made us the laughingstock of the international community. Here's a new one, Don, Trump the president who would be king. I mean, we're talking, we got a dictator here.
Yeah. Well, again, this is one of their favorite lies, you know, because Trump is fighting for the integrity of national elections. And by, you know, remember, 70% of Trump voters think the election was stolen. So that must mean they all want to be dictators, too. I'm being facetious, obviously, you know, because Trump has been fighting for election integrity because he's not willing to go quietly into that good night, as they say. You know, the media and the Democratic Party are portraying him as, you know, he won't bow to the will of the people. He's not going to accept their Democratic verdict. You know, he'll just stay in office, you know, maybe we'll have a military dictatorship. Maybe he'll mobilize the armed forces. Who knows? But, you know, again, this is the false narrative.
You know, what's interesting, while they continue to give the persona that Donald Trump is the president who would be king, at the same token, they are applauding the likes of a Governor Cuomo of New York or a Governor Newsom of California for their dictatorial powers in closing down their states amidst the COVID.
Yeah. You know, I never thought that I'd see the day when you had governors saying, if you go outside, you have to wear a face mask, or you can't go outside, you have to stay in your home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm closing down all the restaurants. No more indoor dining. Oh, no, wait, I've changed my mind. Also, no more outdoor dining. I guess when the dust has settled on this, Jim, we'll find that tens of thousands of restaurants were put out of business.
Yeah. As you looked at the statistics from Media Research Center, you showed their numbers. Some 95% of stories about Donald Trump were negative, 67% about Joe Biden positive. One thing that you also point out is that the media did not really cover this Hunter Biden story and all the references to the big guy. What? Tell us about the media's role in that. It was more like this was a non-issue to them.
You know, at the outset, they simply said, "This is a smear. You know, nothing to see here. Move along, folks." When in fact, there was a mountain of evidence. You know, Biden was cautious about what he was willing to admit, but it's obvious that the laptop that was dropped off at this repair shop was in fact Hunter Biden's laptop. No one had altered it in any way. And you know, when Biden talked about cash coming from the Ukraine and from China and other countries that he was hustling, he would talk about his father as the big guy. He would have to say, "Well, you know, unfortunately, I have to put 10% aside for the big guy." Who's the big guy? Donald Trump?
Not hardly.
You know, your mother, Jill? Who's the big? Well, obviously, the big, the, the big guys. But and at the time, a lot of this was going on. Biden was vice president of the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was traveling around the world with his son, meeting with foreign dignitaries, meeting with the heads of foreign corporations. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to see what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And yet the media refused to see it.
We also, all throughout this campaign, President Trump was constantly getting after the media for launching softball questions to Joe Biden, whereas he himself, Don, he himself was just grilled day after day after day, a kind of grilling that Biden never saw.
And isn't seeing now. I mean, if you've seen the press conferences since the election, you know, it's like members of the media are auditioning for cabinet positions, you know. Oh, Mr. President, how wonderful are you? How wonderful do you think you are?
Hmm. Yeah.
Can I be your girlfriend, your boyfriend? No, but I, honestly, you know, gee, Mr. Biden, how did you hurt your foot? Were you playing with your dog? Do you love animals? I think there have been two press conferences since the election. And, you know, frankly, that's what it's coming down to. And you can imagine, if there is a Biden administration, you can imagine how compliant the media will be.
Yeah, and fawning over him. You know, we've addressed a lot mostly here toward the broadcast media. Any comments about social media?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think most people who follow the issue know how biased the social media has become. You know, banning conservative speech, suppressing certain ideas, and it goes across the board. Twitter, Google, Facebook, you know, these are all essentially adjuncts of a Democratic Party, the way the mainstream media is. So, no, you're not going to get any relief there.
Don Fetter is our guest today. Our phone number to Crosstalk. Folks, like to get your reaction to this. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you see the role that media itself had on this 2020 election that happened long before November 3rd even came about? Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Now, Don, we've covered a lot of ground here leading up to the election, but even election night itself, there are many who will say that the media was so biased on election night, even calling of states as early as they did, or not calling a state that was so obvious for President Trump. Very interesting issues there as well.
Yeah, you know, it's like, well, 99% of the votes are in Florida, but gosh, we got to be cautious.
Yeah.
You know, 1% of the vote is in I don't know, Iowa, let's say, for the sake of example.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call that for Biden.
Yeah, yeah. Folks, remarkable indeed, and hitting on the media's impact here of the 2020 election. We're going to begin in Richland Center. We have Kevin calling. Kevin, you're on the air.
I got a question about partisan voting to begin with. I looked it up the other night, and partisan means to stay loyal along the lines of even when it's not reasonable. Now, I'm going to cite something here the Lord showed me about Kennedy's administration when the media was used to elect Kennedy over Nixon in a narrow margin. If Mr. Kennedy might have appointed Mr. Dwight Eisenhower as Secretary of Defense along a Republican line because of what was going on there following Korea, because there was such a change in venue there between Robert McNamara coming in, I'm seeing where maybe Kennedy, if he had appointed Mr. Eisenhower, maybe we wouldn't have jumped so quickly into Vietnam. I've seen some real dangerous.
Okay, let's stay. Okay. Let's just deal with it. We're not going to go back here. We're talking about this election. But this aspect of partisanship, I guess we have seen this done at levels we've never seen before, even in the last 4 years.
Well, your caller is correct. And, you know, he mentioned John F. Kennedy. Everybody in the media, in the Washington press corps at least, knew that John F. Kennedy was having affairs when he was president. He was bringing women into the White House when Jackie wasn't there. They knew this, and they covered it up.
Go ahead. Conclude.
I'm sorry. So, you know, as your caller points out, the bias goes back a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You know, average Americans didn't know how handicapped Roosevelt was. His aides were very careful about, you know, kind of like Biden, about how they staged him. People in the White House press corps knew that the president could barely stand with the help of two canes and leg braces for more than a few minutes. And again, they never talked about it. They never showed pictures of the president in a wheelchair, which he was most of the time.
Let's go to Bill in Phoenix, Arizona. Bill, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make a comment about the media bashing Trump over being a white supremacist. You know, there's a whole bunch of videos of Donald Trump from 1996, 2006, all the way up until the presidency. He's been denounced the KKK and white supremacy for over 20 years, and media would never play those things. And it just goes to tell you and show you that all the owners of all these media stations and even social media, all these really rich millionaire media people are controlling their companies by making their reporters do the things they do so they can keep their jobs. And it's just disgusting. We need to find a way to keep or find a way to make them accountable for telling us lies over and over again.
Thank you, Bill. Don, how do we hold the media accountable?
Well, that's a good question, but if I could just comment on something the caller said. Why would Donald Trump be a white supremacist? He has a daughter who's Jewish. He has Jewish grandchildren. You know, he's probably the best president we've ever had for Israel.
Yes, yes.
And this is a man that we're told is a white supremacist. Okay, to your question, Jim, how do we hold the media accountable? Gosh, we just keep plugging away at it. You know, there are groups like the Media Research Center that are doing a good job and that deserve our support. I think more people have to be critical of what passes for news coverage. Mm-hmm. You know, don't accept something just because, you know, someone on a network newscast says it so.
Yeah.
You know, do a bit of reading. And
But I heard ABC say this. George, you know, Stephanopoulos said this. We, you know, that's, it's got to be truth.
Exactly. And you know, there, my goodness, he was a White House press secretary. Yeah. You know, he's been there forever. If he says it, it has to be true. And, you know, I mean, kind of like Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one reason that the anti-war movement in the 60s was as successful as it was because people had such confidence in Walter Cronkite.
Hmm. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Our guest today is Don Fetter. Don's columns you'll find frequently on frontpagemag.com. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The other night, we broke on our live national television show the story of Mary Fanning and Alan Jones. They are national security authors and researchers, and they're reporting from firsthand knowledge that Fox News knew about the Hammer and Scorecard software that could be used to steal an election. Well, reportedly, Fox News knew about this as far back as 2013. They report that Carl Cameron actually went and traveled and met with the man who wrote the software, Dennis Montgomery, spent a week with a film crew filming his computer as he demonstrated how an election could be stolen. Why has Fox News said on this since 2013, according to their report? Does this help us understand why Fox News flipped on the night of the election, or did they just publicly flip? Maybe they flipped a long time ago. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Holding the longest in Hartford, we have Lee calling. Hi, Lee. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. I abandoned NPR years ago, but once in a while I still turn to them just to see what they're talking about. And the media has made themselves judge and jury. And listening to NPR, they would say, you know, Donald Trump said this, but they wouldn't say, and Nancy Pelosi said this. They would say, Donald Trump said this, but that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were so blatant in the way they would say things like that. They would just say, Donald Trump said this, but he's lying. It was just real blatant.
Yeah.
And so it's so obvious, you know, when this topic came up, I thought, boy, I could just talk for hours about this because it's so bad. But one thing people don't like about Donald Trump is that they don't like his crassness, but he's kind of like, you know, would you rather have a doctor who told you the truth but that didn't have good bedside manners, or would you rather have a nice guy that just wants to make you feel good, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I was unfortunately, a lot of people would prefer the nice guy who makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lee, thanks for raising that issue here today, and you've expressed the thought that I know that many have expressed here as well. Let's go to Fort Myers, Florida, and Vincent, you're on the air.
I'd like to say, the first thing I'd like to say is that we got to remember that it was almost an impossibility for Donald Trump to gain the White House in the beginning, but look how God moved.
Mm.
And I've been saying from the beginning that The only way that Donald Trump is going to keep this his position, it's going to have to be God, because literally everything is against him. And I still believe in the bottom of my heart that God is going to come through, and he's strengthening the people that he needs to strengthen now to keep Donald Trump in office and to give us a little bit more time to get people saved.
Mm.
And I just want to say my last thing is, I just love Jesus Christ, and I just love that he put Donald Trump, somebody that could handle the pressure, and that's all I want to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Vincent. And regardless of what happens in this election, the outcome as is expressed, God is still God. He is still on the throne. Lewis is calling from Waukesha.
Lewis. Is still God.
Okay, Lewis, you got to turn your radio down. Let's go to Beth in West Allis. You're on the air.
Yes, I feel like I'm in an alternative universe here, because I do not understand how Biden can go on video here. We've seen that video of him stating matter-of-factly that, you know, the Democratic Party has pulled off the biggest voter fraud that anybody's ever seen here. But nobody does anything about it. I mean, you can only pull the dementia card so long. I mean, when he's stating what they did, where's the outrage? Where's anybody, you know, putting him in jail for this?
Well, you know, what's interesting, Beth, with that is that they're saying, well, he just misspoke. He meant to say, you know, that he meant something else than what he actually did say. But we talked about Freud earlier here, Don, about Freudian slip in that regard?
Oh, it could be. Although, you know, no one should underestimate Biden's propensity for graphs. I mean, you know, he called his sister his wife,
mm-hmm,
when he was introducing the two of them at some campaign event. I mean, he just says the most ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Millions of people have died in the last few years from what he calls gun violence.
Well, I just think that, you know, you can only take the dementia card so far. And you know what? At least it should spark, you know, people's minds a little bit to investigate, you know, to call him on it. Because if, you know, somebody else, a Republican, said something like that, that guy would be in jail probably by now.
You're right.
You know, I mean, the double standards is ridiculous. But still, you know, they've become so bold, the socialist Marxists have become so bold that they are telling you the truth.
Yeah. Thank you, Beth.
Yeah, not only that, but unfortunately, a lot of people in this country have a short attention span.
Mm.
You know, a lot of them feel, okay, well, we heard about the election for 2 years. The election's over. Time to move on. You know, why do you keep talking about fraud, even when there's this massive evidence? You know, it's funny, if I can digress for just a minute, Jim.
Yeah, we've only got 2 minutes left. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, well, then I won't digress.
Oh, okay.
Let's take another call.
Very good. Let's see. Lewis is calling from Waukesha. You're on the air, Lewis.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry about earlier. So my question is, why does Republican, you know, in the office not stand up with Donald Trump? Why did they become like, you know, a coward and they don't, like, stand up for that, you know, election fraud? So I don't understand why they just stay quiet.
Why his colleagues are not standing in his defense at this time? Any thoughts, Don?
Well, you know, the gentleman's voice was a bit distorted, so I'm not sure that I got it completely. But, you know, certainly it's true that enough Republicans haven't stood with Trump. You know, some of the braver ones have, like the Attorney General of Texas. But unfortunately, I think a lot of Republicans, even elected officials, are saying, you know, it's a done deal. You know, maybe Biden won't be that bad. And, you know, I think there are a lot of Republicans who secretly, in their heart of hearts, wanted Trump to lose. Mm-hmm. They found Trump embarrassing.
Mark is calling from Monroe. You're on the air.
Yeah, I think the diabolical liberal left media sold out is guilty of getting away with putting Hunter Biden not getting what he was totally guilty of in favor of what I would call fraudway Joe, getting away with a stolen presidency. I would even go so far as to say, instead of Joseph Stalin, he would be Joseph Stolen.
That's good.
Thank you, Mark, for the call. And I apologize to others. We're down to just under 30 seconds left on the program today. Don, what would you like to leave with the listeners on this issue?
Keep fighting. I mean, you know, Donald Trump's biggest asset is the fact that he's a fighter. He's one of those guys in the ring who may be stumbling around, he may be bloody, but he's not going to throw in the towel.
Don Federer, our guest. You'll find his columns at frontpagemag.com. Don, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
And friends, continue. Continue in prayer. Prayer for our nation. Pray for our leaders as well. So critical in just such a time as this. Also, a reminder, God willing, that Matt Staver, who will be with us tomorrow from Liberty Counsel, will delve further into many of these lawsuits taking place across the nation at this time. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.